The Archetypal Tarot Podcast explores universal human patterns, called archetypes, by investigating the major arcana of the ancient tarot. We recognize these archetypes because they are present in our own life stories, myths, and culture. Each card represents a stage of the journey for understanding the greater story of our lives.
Hello, and welcome to the Archetypal Tarot Podcast. I'm Julianne Javot, a consultant specializing in archetypes, and my co-host, as ever, is Sundara Quackenbush, who is a tarot consultant. Today, we delve into card number 9 of the major arcana of the tarot, and that is the Hermit. We're going to discuss the Hermit as a stage of our journey, as well as we're going to talk about the archetypes of the Hermit. And maybe we'll get into the mystic and the wanderer as well. So, hey, Sundara, how you doing?
I'm doing super well. And sometimes, as we notice, the cards that we're on reflect things that are going on in our life. And I've just gotten back from Joshua Tree, my hometown, for a festival. And so I'm feeling that a little bit of that hermit energy. And we'll talk a bit about that today.
Yeah.
So let's explore these cards. So taking a look at right now, both the Rider-Waite and the Marseilles deck, we've got our hermit who looks like a quintessential archetypal wise man with his beard and this older man. He's got robes and in both of these versions and in many versions of the hermit, we see a lantern. He's holding a lantern up and looking out somewhere. And also in his other hand, he has a staff, something to, that makes him look really quite humble, doesn't it? It makes him, it shows his age, but it also shows that he's connected to the earth and he's also connected to the sky. So he's got this, it may be reflective also of that long, a long version of that wand that the magician had a long time ago, but this is really, it's a long staff connected to the earth. And then that lantern shining its light is often interpreted as a sign of reflection of the luminousness of consciousness shining out into the world. So let's talk a little bit about the stage. So we've just emerged from justice. So maybe the hero, our hero, the tarot, has had to go through some sort of justice for maybe something he's done or had to reflect on. And so now, maybe through some sort of hard reality of the splitting of those two poles or...
Yeah. Well, we talked about in the last podcast for justice and the judge, taking an objective view or doing what you can, because we can never truly be objective about our own lives. But it asked the question and asked us to take a look at what needs to be balanced. And in balancing things, sometimes you need to lop off part of, you know, a project or an idea or something that you've been working with. So we go from the chariot and that outward movement to, okay, now we need to rebalance things. How do we move forward? And that can be, it can be kind of painful to really look at maybe something that you've been thinking about or doing and go, you know what, I just need to not do that anymore. Or in order to rebalance, I have to let part of this go or this idea or what have you. And the coming to the hermit is a really nice integration point where maybe you've made those difficult decisions and you've gotten some insight. There is a point where it's as if the tide kind of has to go out for a little bit in order to find, you know, what's true and how do I move forward. The images on the card, and I always do a little research to see how people have interpreted the creative interpretations of these symbols and images. And you think of the hermit as being kind of like in one place, kind of away from the world, but the images by and large were always in movement or mm-hmm. they were out in the woods carrying this lamp. And so it says to me that rather than just sort of staying in one place, there is a sense of movement, that it's not hiding away in a cave. It's not just sort of like right. a complete retreat, but it's a retreat in a way that we are looking for illumination, but that can also be done while we're moving.
Yeah.
And that the one of my favorite images I found, someone did a card that had the hermit in the middle of the woods, and that the idea is that we're going back into darkness, but we're bringing illumination, we're bringing light, to sort of see where we're going in the forest, but also to be quiet for a time to listen to, you know, what's really true, what comes up when we do get quiet.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So that question of when you separate from, whether it's your community, the society, what is it that you're actually connecting to? What fills in that abyss that would have been filled by people time? Mm-hmm. And so what we see here is a really incredible connection to nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to listen and still have the eyes open to the world. I'm seeing that in this Marseille's version here. He really has his eyes open and looking around him. And so there is a connection with the environment here, as well as maybe when that space is not filled up with voices or human interactions, it's being able to see how the outer nature can reflect the inner nature. So there is definitely an inward looking quality to this stage for our hero.
We had to touch back with what you mentioned earlier and what we had been discussing before we started recording this podcast is that the nature of these archetypes and these archetypal stages. Sometimes you will notice that like you need to go into a particular stage. Maybe you listen to these podcasts and you're like, okay, actually I'm really feeling I need to be more in the chariot mode, or mm-hmm. you're noticing some fool energy or whatever. So there's that sort of intentional side of it where something in your psyche says, this is important. Let me investigate this as a stage. What can happen too, and what you and I discussed, is that these stages will happen before we realize that they are. And then we have a moment going, oh, right, I see this is this pattern. And it wasn't anything that we did intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
But so, for example, for the hermit, maybe there are times when the tide does seem like it's going out, where we are asked, not that we want to,
mm-hmm.
but we are asked to kind of like take a moment of integration, and that maybe there was a flood for me, myself, there was a flood of activity happening. And then that builds the expectation that that will then continue. But then as circumstances sort of go along, you find that some of that activity is going away or calming down. And it's sort of like, for me, asking me, oh, okay, maybe this is a good point for the hermit to come in as a pattern, and for me to use that because it's happening already. So there's a question of sort of causality. And I think with any of these archetypal stages, it happens both ways. Intentionally, yeah. Or where we're caught up in it and we go, oh, okay, now I can make use of this time and see it as purposeful, versus, you know, the first reaction of getting annoyed where certain things aren't going the way that you want them to. But it's like, oh, no, there's something deeply important about being a hermit right now, or seeing things as being important enough to see who I am without those activities happening.
Yeah, that's totally my experience with doing tarot readings too, is that you can have these two ways about it. You can be asking, what are the forces that are apparent in my life now or needing some time and space? And if you're feeling busy, 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 and like everything's moving so fast and you're getting annoyed and sick and all of these things are happening, it may be the hermit calling out for, okay, let's slow things down here. Let's just separate a little bit. And as we talk about this, I'm also reminded of initiation rites, that separation is an essential aspect of an initiation mm-hmm. into something new.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to separate from the community and you have to go out on your own and have your own experience, your own little vision quest, whatever modern urban way that can take these days too. And then, but it's important to see this as a stage and not necessarily as the end result, right? This is a stage of time to learn something or to go seek and find a mentor. So we can see this as both. Maybe our hero needs to be a hermit for a while, or maybe it is that on his journey he's having to go out and find that hermit on the boundaries of society to consult with and bring his, gosh, I just came across the justice system. What am I to think about this? You know, someone outside of the entire system, outside of the justice system, can help him to reflect again on what that means for his journey and his life. What are some some hermits that you've that you automatically think of when you think of in films or myths, and that outside of the bounds sort of character?
You know, it's come to me, and I had honestly 2 weeks ago I'd forgotten that we were going to be doing the hermit this time around, but it just kept coming up, and that was Henry David Thoreau, sort of perfect, especially when you look at Walden, that the process that he took and everything that he talks about is quintessentially the hermit stage of a journey, and he himself kind of, you know, went out and built his cabin and, you know, his experience of it. He documented in detail using each of the sort of stages of how he went out into the woods, why he did, what he came back with. And what's important to know too is, you know, he wasn't a hermit his whole life. He actually did go back into town and left Walden Pond to actually help his mentor Emerson. So I think that's a good reference too. If we look at Ralph Waldo Emerson, as being a mentor to Henry David Thoreau, it's that, on, with Joseph Campbell's ideology of the hero's journey, it's the meeting of the mentor, but there is something that you might not recognize who your best mentor is until maybe you've had some time in a hermitage, or where you've at least metaphorically been able to kind of like let go of things a little bit in order to integrate, to get a bit of distance, and to be able to sort of calm and be on your own a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about the shadow of what I see. The hermit archetype is that isolation of people who maybe it's a reaction to the victim archetype, where you're just in reaction to how painful things can be out there in the world. And I mean that by saying that we have relationships when we're out in the world. Our relationships, they are dynamic by nature, and they're not always pleasant. And the shadow of the hermit is to completely isolate from that, thinking that that will bring them solace. Now, it certainly can. I think for everyone needs a moment away.
Definitely.
And if a client's like, oh, well, I'm a hermit, you know, this and that, we always want to investigate how does that play out, because the greatest possibility, the sort of the lightest side of the hermit is that desire and motivation and ability to be by themselves, to sort of like refresh by being by themselves. But it's not in reaction to the world. It's really more of like a recentering, so that they can then go back out into the world with that energy and share it. So, and something to kind of keep an eye on of like, why do you want to move away? Is it to get refreshed and nourished, or is it because I am damn tired of the world and I need to get away?
Right. Absolutely. And for some, this withdrawal or this time for reflection can be seen in their seeking out of therapy and going into the therapeutic realm and really getting down to the bottom of a lot of what their soul is experiencing. And yeah, once again, that shadow side can come up. So in relation to this shadow of the hermit, I'm going to read a quote from James Hillman, from a conversation he had with a writer named Michael Ventura. And we've had 100 years of psychotherapy and the world's getting worse. So Hillman says, clients begin to have to relate their psychological lives to the world's problems, and they cannot duck out of positions in the world by referring to victimization and weakness and I'm only one person, and scoot back into an internal life or personal relationships.
Great quote. So that says to me there's potentially a hermit space within the therapeutic, you know, sitting on the couch doing talk therapy, and that there is that sense you could potentially become solipsistic, where you're thinking, oh, well, this is, you know, it's all about me, and that reaction to things that have happened. I don't remember who said it, but there's a quote or an idea that, you know, as you go into the therapy room to talk about your problems, you also need to realize that other people are in therapy because of you. And that this balanced approach to realize that, like, oh, well, you know what, if the more I'm not dealing with my own issues, the more I'm kind of creating them for other people in my life. So that there's this sort of symbiotic kind of relationship of understanding that, like, You know, there's the, there are greater responsibilities to heal yourself and in so doing heal others.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that idea, and I think it's appropriate to sort of this stage of the hermit integrating the balance and the justice and also preparing for the next stage, what's about to happen.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So keeping track of that, the energy also that's spent in time in therapy and having an equal amount of awareness of what's going out on in the world. How are these things impacting us? How does the next election impact our lives? And if we're too focused on our interior worlds, you know, we still need to return and put our vote in for the, for what's going to be our best chance at changing the world. Right. So, keeping both of those, keeping an eye on that shadow of the hermit is a good thing.
So this stage to kind of give it, you know, a deeper sense for everyone in their lives, the kind of watchwords I look for are introspection, integration, a time to reflect and have that reflection, obviously for what's going on with you internally, but also look at then, you know, we're eventually going to have to go back out into the world. How can we bring the healing or the knowledge that we've reflected upon then back out to the world?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And see how that energy can be changed once we've taken a moment to get a deeper understanding, to maybe look at things a little bit more philosophically. I know the work that I do with for people in kind of teaching this archetypal technology is just that, of being able to step back, see it as a pattern first, and then see how that integrates into the personality, to take a little bit of that sort of like stiff energy where we take things personally and be able to kind of to go, let go of enough of that, that we can kind of see that larger integration point and kind of step away from things where we just feel like we're banging into walls. And when that happens, the just anything like that your practices do that can kind of bring us up to the bigger picture that we can then go back into the world and be focused on what we're being called to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. An archetypal session or a tarot reading absolutely gives you that chance to step back and to see the larger picture and to see what is that story that's happening right now. I'm feeling lots of imagery from the desert where I'm originally from and where I recently visited is coming up. And I want to talk about a friend of mine who lives out in the desert, and she lives like way out in the middle of nowhere off a few random dirt roads. Like the directions to her house are hilarious. They're like, you gotta go in between a telephone pole and a Joshua tree, and then you're gonna think you're lost, but just keep on going. And it's just, I just totally forgot what desert directions are like. But anyway, you get out there and she has this amazing just little desert paradise that she's made her own. And it's just, you know, it has all of these beautiful sculptures and she has a garden. And then I just felt like time could just slow down and I could feel the silence again and I could hear the wind and I could be in touch with the animals that flock to her little mini
oasis.
Mother goddess oasis, right? But she's also just a great example of someone who may be seen as a hermit, but is also completely involved in community. She's always, every day she's off to some art event, or she's going to a meeting about sustainability and stewardship for the desert. And, you know, she's very much involved in the entire community. And she was really quite inspiring to see how she could hold that balance of coming in, having your own paradise, making that beautiful and rich and having time for self-reflection and then completely being engaged with the world around as well.
It sounds to me like that is the heart of the kind of healthy hermit, where you need to have sort of an internal integration point where you're physically, you know, and emotionally sort of separate. But what that provides for you, that's like going, they call it going back to the well. Where you're going back to the well, and then you are much more able to be connected in a more outward way with the world. But it's necessary for you to sort of come back to that center. And so I guess for people who are looking at these podcasts to get information about things, archetypes and patterns that they can use, just I think it's really important to recognize that that's the balance of things, is to see that centeredness What it does is it provides us symbolic nutrition.
Yes.
To be able to not armor yourself to go back out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
That would be sort of the warrior's way of doing
right.
it. But to be so solid within yourself that you've got more to give. You've filled up so much that you're now ready to go back and connect.
And that shows that balance of the lantern and the staff again. Like mm-hmm. when the hermit returns to the world, you have a hold on your light that you bring to the world, your gifts, your insight, literally looking within and bringing it out, your insight reflected in that lamp, but also a sense of humility. Yeah, you're right. It's very different from that warrior archetype. And that sense of humility of like feeling your ailments, you know, the hermit has a stick. Maybe you're in tune with what your limp is mm-hmm. in the world. You're in tune with what your shadow side is in the world as you return.
And coming right after the judge archetype or justice, this is definitely not about judgment. It's about that wisdom and reflection, getting a deeper understanding. And there's, I mean, if you just look at fairy tales and mythology and anytime, you know, when you see a hermit or the witch in the woods, they're always closer to nature. You know, ancient mythology and especially fairy tales, I always think of like the wise woman in the woods or the hermit who you have to travel to, the guru at the top of the mountain, that there is that, the symbology basically says, go out to this place that's far away from distractions. And you're always seeking that wise person, but you can do this for yourself. You can sort of step away for a little while to get that separation and to get a bit more space to concentrate on things. And you mentioned, you know, the desert. I mean, the desert's a perfect symbol. You think of Jesus in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. In Tibetan mythology or Tibetan Buddhist mythology, we have the story of Milarepa, I think, which is also another great story where he was separated from his family and he did find a mentor and kept having to rebuild. He was ordered to rebuild this house brick by brick and then knock it all down and then start it again. And so there is that, the integration in that mythology was of that building and rending, but also kind of being on your own with it. And that each brick he put in, each stone in building this house was important for him to both construct and deconstruct. So that can be a part of this internal process too, where we're going to get answers and we think we might have built something, but it might also be that we need to kind of take it apart again.
Right.
And mm-hmm. The shadow side could be getting obsessed with that, of
right.
being so isolated and so into your own internal process that you're not building any reserves of energy or anything that you can then take back out. It's like you're kind of becoming a bit of a miser. And
right.
that's something that can be related
to.
Oh,
that's right. That's mm-hmm. interesting. That can be the shadow side of that as well. I'm thinking as you speak about that brick by brick thing of Carl Jung, who spent a large part of time actually getting stones and building his own little stone cottage,
mm-hmm.
Where he had that sense of being in separation and being able to reflect. And I believe a large part of that time also invested in doing the Red Book, which is an incredible book that came out a couple years ago, finally.
They were his journals. I mean,
yeah.
That was deep stuff.
And he put so much care and attention into the Red Book. But it eventually stopped when he felt like he needed to return and go mm-hmm. back out. And the Red Book time lessened a little bit when he went back out into the world. So yeah, he's another great example of this.
There are plenty of them. A couple of the others that I think of, Emily Dickinson. But the way she moved out into the world was with her poetry.
Mm-hmm.
She was
mm-hmm.
a bit of a recluse
Definitely.
Herself. That wasn't. That doesn't mean that she didn't see people socially. I mean, she was an interesting character, and she hung out with people, but they tended to come to her.
Right.
Also, well, Emerson himself has a little bit of that, but he had a very big presence in outer world and in teaching. Thomas Merton, the Catholic mystic, he basically did, you know, go into a hermitage, but his way of coming back out was then with writing and teaching. And that, I think, had its own special kind of energy around it. Pema Chodron. As well, I think the hermit is definitely part of her story. She's a Buddhist nun and teacher, who's still with us, still still quite young in terms of things. She's one to look at too if you are looking for guidance on this sort of this idea of coming back to center or meditation. Pema Chodron, somebody I recommend.
And living here in the Bay Area, locally, I'm thinking now of John Muir, who is a great example of that moving hermit, of going out into nature, and his famous line of saying, when I went out, I was really going in.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's perfect.
That's a really, feels very like a hermit. I'm also thinking about Yoda on his own planet.
Yeah, that's true.
Luke Skywalker coming out to consult with him and being in that very... You know, a place where no one would go, really. This
oh, that is
swampy,
rich in symbolism. The swamp that's alive that he gets sucked into. And
right.
That's, I mean, Star Wars itself. And, you know, that is, it is the hero's journey. It was modeled after it. That's brilliant. One thing in terms of the image I had to mention, because the first thing I thought of, the image of the Hermit Tarot, is Led Zeppelin. I'm betraying my age here, but Led Zeppelin, they had a poster, I don't know if it was an album cover, where that was, it's the Hermit image. It's exactly that. And the lyrics to Stairway to Heaven actually very much relate to the Hermit process. So if anyone's interested in kind of Googling the images used for Stairway to Heaven and Led Zeppelin, that the little snip of the lyrics is the perfect sort of encapsulation of the hermit stage and the process of sort of coming back to center and being one and finding out that, like, you know, all is one and this centeredness. So more cultural references, shall we, for this
please
baby?
Please do.
Weirdly enough, I was looking at my shelf of DVDs and I was like, Willy Wonka. Oh my goodness, Willy Wonka. Both versions, I think, the Tim Burton and the original one from the 70s. Willy Wonka is a character who has pulled himself back from the world. Hmm. He has become this hermit, this recluse. And that the crux of the movies, more than the book, I think, is also that reaching back out to the world. And what he's looking for is an heir to basically his throne in this candy kingdom. And so that's symbolically something that happens with the hermit. It's got its own derivations within it, but I thought it was a fun reference. The movie Get Low, which was, I think, just from a couple years ago, Robert Duvall.
Love him.
Yeah, and it was an interesting film. He's very much a hermit, but there's a lot of victim archetype in there too, where you see him reacting to his own heartbreak and what had happened in his life and the world kind of coming in to get him. Mm-hmm. Interesting movie. He basically is throwing his own memorial or funeral while he's still alive.
Oh, wow.
So that was a fun one and symbolically really exciting. Lost in Translation with Bill Murray. That's something about, you know, being a hermit within the crowd.
Right.
Interesting way he kind of makes connections. I think it's valid for the hermit, amongst others. That movie Into the Wild with Emile Hirsch. Interesting one to watch. Kind of painful. Not a happy ending, I'm warning you. But there is that reconnection with nature and sort of finding his own aliveness within his connection to the wild world.
Which is based off a true story, right?
It is based on a true story.
Based off a book, Into the Wild,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then an interesting one, because it's a combination of the hermit and warrior, is Forrest Whitaker in Ghost Dog, which is 1999. Jim Jarmusch, one of my favorite filmmakers. So those and possibly some more will be up on my website, so you can go and take a look at some more hermit references. And for me, please do. I love when people comment either on our blogcast site or on our various web posts. Please comment. We love seeing that, and it gives us great feedback on how we're doing, how we can better, you know, sort of serve you in talking about these archetypes. So please do that, or email us at atpodcast@archetypist.com. So please feel free to be in touch. Do we have any more words on our little harmony friend here?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I'm in the process of actually brainstorming with this woman in the desert. Her name is Rhonda, and I would love to do some desert retreats. Actually,
nice.
So actually, being able to offer something where people can come to a desert paradise and really have time for reflection, some time alone, but also a time to integrate and discuss one's life while you're apart. So this will be in Joshua Tree. I'm thinking around in the fall. So if you're interested in any of this, you can email me at Sindera@tarotdreamstone.com. tarot.com. Tarot is spelled T-A-R-O-T. And
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I want to go. Yeah. All right. You're my first customer.
All right.
Very good. But yeah, we would love to hear your comments on this show. And stay tuned for next time around. We will be... We'll be turning your crank with the with the Wheel of Fortune card. Our hero will, after spending a little time in Hermitage, will be feeling the bravery to chance Wheel of Fortune once again. Okay.
Very good. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Sandara.
All right. Thanks, Julian.
Thank you for joining us for the Archetypal Tarot Podcast. For more information on Sandara's work, please visit her website, tarotdreamstone.com. For more information on Archetype Consulting, visit archetypist.com. That's archetypist.com. Thanks for listening.